that just a minute ago. So we're now recording, and Julie's going to talk to us today about what she does with her alternative, I'm just going to call it her alternative medical types of things. And Mike actually told a story, and I'm going to start with this. I'm going to turn it over to you, Julie. Mike's wife is dealing with some health challenges right now, and particularly with cancer. And Mike told me earlier today that you asked him a question. You asked him if she used hair dye. And he said yes, and that she has for some time. And you guys talked about that. So I'm just going to stop with that and let you kind of follow with that. But let's go ahead and turn it over to you. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and just tell us about your life and your business. And Dr. Corey, we'll actually bring you on in just a little while. We're just getting started barely. And so let us just get started with Julie. Let her give us her story a little bit, and then we'll grab you and let you come on with us. So Julie, go ahead. Stage
sure.
is yours.
Well, thank you. So I am a naturopathic doctor, which means that I went to one of the four accredited schools in the country for naturopathic medicine. I went to Connecticut, and I've been in practice for about 10 years now. And I, you know, as you go on in practice, you learn a lot of things. I feel like you learn more in practice than you do in school. And so what I saw over and over, I guess, as these 10 years have passed, is women that are otherwise doing these healthy things, you know, eating healthy, exercising, are coming, you know, down with these chronic diseases. They're getting cancer. They're getting autoimmune disease. They just don't feel good. They don't have any energy. So it was like, you know, what is really going on? Because what we're taught kind of early on is, you know, you eat healthy, you move around, and you're going to do okay. And part of my practice is I'll run like group detoxifications for people. And so, you know, we do these medical detoxes that work on the organs of elimination and blah, blah, blah. But I think one of the biggest factors is we really clean up people's lives. So yes, we clean up their diet, you know, we put them on an elimination diet, but then we also look at everything in their life, you know, toxic things. And for women, this is a lot. You know, women put 12 products or more and hundreds of chemicals in their body every day before they walk out of the house. You know, they wash their hair, they put whatever hair products in, their makeup, their shampoo, their, you know, toothpaste. I mean, all of these things contain these chemicals. So part of these detox programs was to get people to take some of these things out of their life to start using better products. And on these programs, it was like women who otherwise weren't losing weight, you know, no matter what they did, they were great at, you know, exercising and eating really well, but they couldn't lose anything off of a detox. But on a detox, they would, you know, drop 10 to 15 pounds in, you know, a 3-week period of time. So that was when I started to really think there's something to this. Now, my understanding of healthy products was if you didn't buy it from Target and you went somewhere like Whole Foods or, you know, the health food store and you picked something off the shelf, that it was safer, right? You know, if there was a little picture of a green leaf or a happy farm or something like that, chances are this product was pretty good. And so I have four kids, and my first son, who is now, he'll be 8 this month, when he was a baby, I learned about the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. And that is a website. They have a Skin Deep as part of that Environmental Working Group. They're basically the police of the industry. And so what they do is they, you know, keep tabs on everybody and make sure that, you know, you can find out what's actually in your products. And they'll kind of, they'll do really great, you know, sunscreen reports and things like that. So you can see like, oh, this is the kind of sunscreen that's safest for me to buy this year. So EWG.org, Skin Deep, really good resource. But back to my son when he was an infant. So I discovered this website and I had bought a product that was, you know, twice as much as typical diaper cream. And I bought it from the health food store and I was using it on him and I thought I was doing a good job. And I looked up on this Skin Deep website that rates everything on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being the lowest toxicity, 10 being the highest. And his diaper cream was a 9. And I was appalled. I was like, wait a second. You know, I paid extra for this. It has a really cute picture on it. It was from the health food store. This should be okay. And so that really was my turning point where I was like, okay, I need to learn more about this stuff and what actually is in products and how to discern between you know, what I'm using. And for my patients, I couldn't just tell them, stop using your shampoo and conditioner, just pick one up at the health food store. We really have to like look into these things a little bit deeper. So that was like the first moment where I really started looking at things a little bit more. And I realized the importance of all this kind of stuff. So that's my story.
You'd already started your naturopathic practice.
Yeah.
So let's go back even further. What motivated you to get into naturopathic medicine versus traditional medicine or even into medicine at all?
Yeah. So I don't know. I decided I wanted to be a doctor kind of early on. And so I, you know, when I went to undergrad, I got a bachelor's in science with a pre-med concentration. I studied and took the MCATs and I applied to medical schools. And it was in the process of visiting medical schools when I would ask them. And again, I graduated undergrad in 2001. So this was around then. I would ask them, you know, tell me about your nutrition classes, because that was really important to me. I was an athlete and, you know, really into finding out how to eat really healthy and that kind of thing. And they would tell me, well, you know, we have one and it's optional, or like, don't worry about that. And it was just always like blown off. And I was like, well, wait a second, you know, this is what I'm actually really interested in. Maybe this isn't such a good choice. So I had a job at the time that took me to the Salt Lake City Olympics that were held in, I guess, 2001. And I was just talking to some people that I was working with out there. And this one guy told me that he was like, oh, yeah, that sounds really neat. Like, it sounds what you're interested in is what my dad does. And he's a naturopathic doctor. And I'd never heard of this before. So I Googled it really quick and saw that there was also these, you know, naturopathic medical schools. So, and there was one in Connecticut, which was close enough to me. I was in Maryland. So I just, at that moment, from Utah, applied to the school in Connecticut. And, you know, my life just took a turn to the right. And that's how I ended up in naturopathic school.
So even now you said, what did you do athletically? Did you do sports and competitive way or for fun, or what was that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was never too competitive. Like, field hockey was my main sport. I always kind of played a sport year round. It was just, you know, it was fun for me. So, and nutrition was just, I mean, I was that child in the family that, you know, made my parents do workouts instead of watching TV, or like, you know, told my mom that we shouldn't have this for dinner, we should have something else. And so I don't know, it just kind of started early and went from there.
Very cool. By the way, Mark's putting up over on the chat some of your website information, and usually follows it pretty close. So I guess in your story under the new gallery, there's something people can look for as they see that.
Okay.
So you had these issues with your son, and that caused you to think about products. So how did that change your practice, and what did you have to do to get to the point where you were comfortable now and being able to start to advise people about the products that they use, women in particular?
Well, you know, the EWG is a fantastic, solid source of information. So I have learned a lot from them, really. I mean, and I feel like, you know, most people have no idea that what is on our shelves is actually not regulated by the FDA. You know, we have so many chemicals. Since World War II, we have, you know, 80,000 chemicals have been released in our environment, and we don't even have any idea, really, the result of most of these chemicals. And we're just kind of starting to learn that, you know, the problems that they do cause, and, you know, the combinations of chemicals can cause issues that we otherwise, you know, wouldn't have classified these chemicals as. You know, they now have studies out there that chemicals are obesogens. So there was a study that I found, I don't know, a couple months back, that was talking about these chemicals in cleaning products are obesogens. And even if you clean your house with them, I mean, you know, and best case scenario, your windows are open on a summer day, but all throughout the winter, and even in, you know, the summertime, we have our windows closed a lot because we have air conditioning. And so these chemicals just sit in our house. But I also learned in this study that they sit on the dust particles in our house. So when women come in to me and they want to lose weight and they're doing a lot of dieting and exercising, you know, they could have these chemicals classified as obesogens. This isn't like a crazy naturopath talking. This is real science, classified as obesogens, affecting their health and their, you know, their ability to lose weight or not. So I don't know. As far as like get to the point where I could advise people, it was like the more I learned, the more I knew that if I just sent people out the door with, you know, you need this functional test, you need this diet, you need this exercise program, you know, you need to meditate. And I wasn't touching on this big factor of what they're putting on their skin every single day, you know, what they're cleaning their house with, I was doing them a really big disservice. So it was really the more I knew, the more I knew I had to tell people about it.
And how much have you changed what you do yourself? And you talked about your son, but you probably changed a number of things. So maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and people can start small or large. I'm usually a go big or go home person. So, you know, it was like, once I figured out these things were toxic, I had to just do, hey, there's Mike. I had to do a total revamp on everything. So, you know, as a mom, it's like the first thing you think about is your kids. You know, and you have to like look at what you're putting on them. Of course, I don't put a lot of stuff on my kids anyway, but the stuff that I would put on them, I would always check with that EWG site. I would check with the Skin Deep. I'd see if it was rated low. But, you know, since then, recently, I've discovered how products and companies don't even have to put what they put in the product on the label. So for example, like preservatives are a really big issue. You know, preservatives are meant to kill microbes, right? Because that's what they're supposed to do. And by law, anything with water in it has to have a preservative. Well, you'll see a lot of products in the health food store that'll say like preservative free, or it'll say, you know, essential oils as preservatives, but they actually can't just use essential oils as preservatives. They have to have these preservatives in there. So if they, first of all, they don't have to list it if they add it, but if they use an aloe, for example, that's pre-treated with a preservative, you know, so an aloe has parabens in it, they can just list aloe on that ingredient list and you have no idea that you're getting aloe plus parabens. So like an EWG is a really good starting point, but then it's like you really have to dig into these companies, see what their whole, I don't know, the mission of them is, to begin with, to see if, you know, how transparent they are, how green they really are. You know, it's today it's we're facing greenwashing and we're facing transparency washing, because as consumers, we want things to be healthier. And we also want to actually know what's in them. So we have all these companies that are like, you know, oh, we're super green and we tell you everything, but it's unfortunately, it's not always the case.
Julie, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yep, you're fine now, Mike.
Okay, good.
Whatever the volume was before, I wasn't hearing the echo, but I think it sounds a little different now.
Yeah.
I just have a couple more questions. Great. One comment, and then Mike, I'm going to turn it over to you. By the way, the comment is, have you ever watched or listened to Robin O'Brien? Does that name mean anything to you?
No.
Robin O'Brien is from Texas originally, but recently, maybe a couple of years ago, moved to Boulder. So that's real close to where I am, and I've gotten to know her a little bit. She is considered the Erin Brockovich, which is, you probably heard that name, was a movie that was real famous, of food. And she's done probably 10 HelpX talks, and not HelpX, TEDx talks and TED talks, because when she was in her, oh, I don't know, let's say her early stages of her corporate career, brilliant young lady, having four kids, and she actually talks about it. She says, I was ADHD as it related to my life and my kids and my husband and everything else. And so four toddlers at home. One day she was feeding them breakfast, and her youngest, after she had left the room and come back in between that time frame, and I don't know how long that was, but let's just say not more than minutes, his face was all swollen up. And the first thing she did was pointed at her siblings and said, which one of you hit, you know, so-and-so. They all are saying no. And so she ended up taking him to the emergency room. Well, I'll shorten the story, food allergies. I mean, the doctor started and asked, what were you feeding? Well, she said Lego, Eggo, waffles, and you know, everything that was wrong. And bottom line is she has become just her whole life is now around teaching people about food allergies and how we don't pay attention to them and greenwashing as it relates to food. And by the way, you two almost sound alike in your passion related to in your case, what women put on themselves and on their children and so on. But somebody you'd enjoy listening to, Robin O'Brien is her name.
Okay, I remember.
And then a comment. So I'm a contaminant scientist and look at things related to contamination in soils and groundwater and air. And you talked about how dust particles and how they might affect people. We're finding out more and more that probably more indoor air contamination occurs from dust particles from just about anything else. And here's why. When we clean and you wipe a ledge, I wish I had one and turn my camera. If I'm wiping this window edge right here, that dust is going up in the air. Just the average dust particle in your house will go up into the air and stay in the air and then start to settle down. Do you know how long it takes before that particle hits the floor again? Let's say a 6-foot distance. How long?
I'd guess 10 minutes.
6 days on average. Asbestos, which is what people are real concerned about. It's where I started doing work 30 years ago now. It takes 10 days because it's more buoyant in the air. And you can't see it. It's microscopic. So those particles are going up in the air because we're disturbing them. They're going right into our breathing zones. And then they're hitting the floor. Then we're cleaning the floor and they're going up again. So they're just consistently in our breathing zones. And so we're starting to realize more and more that it isn't just what's volatile. So those things that would be coming out of the spray can, aerosols or whatever else, it's a lot of the solids that are there and that are microscopic and very small. So that was a comment. Mike, Julie was great. And Julie, Dr. Walsh, I'll go both ways. Getting started, I'll turn it over to you and I'll sit
great,
and listen.
Great. Listen, I apologize for the delay, and I still am getting echo, so I don't know what that's all about, but I'll just go work through it. Julie, one of the things that I'm really interested in, as I mentioned, is cancer, and that's one of our focuses. What is the main thing that we can do, men and women, I know your specialty is women, but to help rid this toxic load that we all are invaded with every day? I mean, we get this terrible toxic load from dust particles, from makeup, from hair products, from the food we eat, water we drink, the air we breathe. Where do you start?
Well, the way that I always explain it to people, and I call it my bucket theory. So I tell everybody that, you know, they're a bucket, and we all have things going into our bucket. You know, the things in our food, the things in our air, the things in our water, the things in our products, the things in our environment, you know, all of this is constantly affecting us. You know, we live in a pretty rural area. And so my husband was driving down the street and the farm, I mean, basically a couple blocks from us had one of those huge trucks and it was, you know, those sprayers on each side just spraying. And he's like, you know, making his windows go up as quick as he can, you know, driving through this stuff. But it's like, none of us, and even if he wasn't driving down that road down that day, you know, none of us live in bubbles. None of us can escape this kind of stuff. So it is there. So what we can personally do, I think, is do as much as we can, you know, do as much as we can. First of all, not to put so many things in that bucket. You know, do you actually need all of those things that you're using on your body, in your home, that kind of thing? And, you know, I was going to talk about this when we were talking about the dust particles, but I'll have women who, you know, have their homes cleaned by a cleaning service. And so the cleaning service will use chemicals and, but the woman won't use chemicals herself. And I always try to explain, it's just as bad, you know, it's still in your house. It's, and now that I know this, you know, 10-day dust drop little factoid, that's incredible. I mean, it's still in your house. So, you know, getting those things out of your house. So, I mean, and when I say that, when I first did this, it was like I tried to do the vinegar baking soda cleaning thing, and that was not for me because I actually really wanted a nice clean house. You know, I didn't want my house to smell like vinegar and like the surfaces to be kind of sticky and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I really looked into like finding a good company that, you know, I could trust and use their cleaning products and all that kind of stuff that would actually work and clean my house, because I do have four, you know, crazy, sticky, dirty little kids. So they need to be cleaned up after. So that's just cleaning. But, you know, the amount of things that go in your bucket in the first place is like the first thing that I say, clean up.
So now, so let me interrupt real quick. So yeah. a patient comes to you and they've got, I don't know, fibromyalgia that they're dealing with or something like that. Where do you start with analyzing their bucket, their toxic bucket, if you will? Do you have tests that you can do? Or how do you find out what toxins may be overloading their systems?
Yeah, I mean, as far as there's a million fantastic functional tests out there, and you can certainly test for almost anything today, right? The thing is that most people have a testing budget, and I'm always really like aware of that. So I try to get people the best test that they need first. So, you know, I always start people with a really good blood chemistry, not one of these, you know, chem pens that they're getting from their doctor. And, you know, it's like just barely any markers at all. So always a really good blood chemistry. And again, so for women, most of them have some kind of hormone disruption. Is it because of the endocrine disruptors in their environment? Maybe, you know, is it because they've been on birth control pills? Maybe, but a lot of them have these things. So it's like people come in, they fill out this, we call it a symptom questionnaire, so we can see what we're possibly dealing with. So then from symptoms, we go towards, you know, the basic testing, unless somebody requests something crazy. You know, it may be blood work, salivary testing for hormones, GI testing if they have GI issues, whatever it may be. Do I test for chemicals necessarily? No. You know, I encourage people to get their water tested for chemicals, you know, and that kind of thing. But I think mostly it's just education. It's less testing at that point. So it's, you know, teaching them about where, you know, what's on their food and pesticides and picking out things that don't have, you know, 3 million chemical ingredients on the label and that kind of thing.
Really what we're doing here is trying to educate people. And that's why I asked the question, because we know we all take in toxins and quite a bit of it, I would imagine. So where do you start with the individual? I mean, the person comes in, and if it was my wife and she came to you and she has bladder cancer, at that point, where do you start? Obviously, it's probably what you put in your mouth, right? Is that where you start?
Well, what you put in your mouth, what you put on your skin, and what's in your environment. I mean, I just kind of do like a, let's look at all of this together and figure out what's the big problem here. And so for different people, it'll be different things. So your wife may eat perfectly and organically and you guys grow all your own food, but she's, you know, dyeing her hair and using these conventional makeup products and, you know, using this, you know, Herbalife shampoo or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And I would say that these are the things that have to go. You know, somebody else may come in and they may have this, you know, be eating lean cuisines every day. And I'm like, okay, this is where we need to go. So personalized medicine, it's never the best for business. You know, these businesses that have this turnkey system and these millionaires are, it's great, but I can't have somebody come in and not give them personalized advice. You know, I have to look at their unique story and tell them what they're doing, or I feel like, again, I'm doing them a disservice. So most women, where does it lie? Like their food, their water, what they're cleaning their house with, and what they're putting on their body are the big categories.
And we've had a couple naturopaths on our these blabs before, and one of the things I want to give you guys a plug, and it's if anybody's listening to this either as a replay or live right now, one of the things that I really like, my wife went to a naturopath when she found out that she had this issue, and it was, not to knock what doctors do, but our first appointment was 2 hours with this lady that is a naturopath. And I just thought it was so much different than a typical 7-minute visit with a doctor walks in a room, looks at you, asks you what's wrong, and gives you a prescription, and you're on your way. It was really a breath of fresh air to have that happen. So I want to just put a plug out for naturopaths. I think it's wonderful what you guys do.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we all practice differently too. I mean, but I think that today the issues that we're facing are, they're compounded issues. You know, it's chronic problems. And my sister's a medical doctor. Medical doctors are fantastic at certain things, but there's other things that, you know, other people are pretty good at. So we, you know, we all kind of have a spot in the healthcare system, I think.
And that's one of the things that I've always said, that if you're faced with chronic disease, there's many, many pieces of the puzzle that you have to bring together. And you bring one stance, your MD would bring another. If in cancer, your oncologist would bring another. But there's also a huge area, a big piece of that puzzle that is called alternative health. And it's a little bit what you do, but you're more mainstream as far as the science goes. You do use other supplements and things like that, I know, that are more natural, I guess, as opposed to the chemical prescriptions. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, people come in with their lab work from their doctor, and we use that same lab work. You know, I don't get into any of the, I mean, again, naturopaths practice really different. So some of them get into the kinesiology and the, you know, muscle testing for certain supplements and things like that. Where I live is I prescribe supplements and make recommendations according to tests. And I have people come back in, you know, 6, 8, 12, whatever it happens to be, weeks. And we retest to make sure that those supplements that we gave are actually doing what we wanted them to do. So it's all about, you know, being objective and not subjective. And that's just kind of where I live, because I think that we've come far, way too far in science to ignore, you know, what we know about these, you know, these blood ranges and all that kind of stuff. Now, we'll use a functional range, you know, a smaller, tighter range, because one of the issues with blood work is people have been, they've been doing blood work a long time. And as a society, we're getting sicker, right? So glucose used to be a range like this. And as the norms of glucose kind of spread out, and some people have higher glucose, I mean, it's easier to fall within that normal limits, right? So you don't want to be, you don't want to be all the way out here, all the way, and you want to be in this tight, and that's a functional range. So that's where we kind of like look at people and say, hey, you don't have diabetes yet, but you're kind of creeping up a little bit. So let's rein that in before, you know, before you do get there. So that's the difference. And I'll have people be like, oh, you know, my doctor said I was normal. I don't feel good, but, and that's where, I don't know, that's where I live in my practice.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. There was a couple things I wanted to ask. I was a little distracted. Sorry, trying to figure out this. Are you guys still hearing an echo?
No,
not at all.
Okay, great. I'm still hearing it. One thing I was going to say, and I don't know how much you got into it, you have a wonderful website. That's actually how we got together, because, as you mentioned, our assistant found your website and went on it. And I noticed you also have another website with cosmetics and stuff. Is your website, or do you rep that company, or...?
Yeah, so that was really born out of me really looking for something that I could recommend to women, because so women are, you know, they're different, but most women, if they don't want to give up their makeup, they don't want to give up hair color, they don't want to give up their shampoo and their conditioner and their nail polish and all this stuff. So if I sat here and told them, in order to work with me and in order for you to get well, you know, you got to dump all this stuff, I'd have people sprinting out the door and I'd never see them again. So I had to find something, some company that I could actually trust, you know, that was, that had the same, I don't know, standards that I had for what I would actually want to put on my own skin. So that was like for patients, but then for me, myself too, it was like, you know, I think for moms, it's like we want to be moms, but we don't necessarily want to look like moms, you know? So I wanted to still, like, you know, I'm not into the no poo movement where you don't have shampoo your hair. I wanted to have nice, clean hair. You know, I wanted to do all these things. So I had to find these products that I could use on myself and that I could recommend to other people, you know, at the EWG and the things that I learned and the fact that, you know, you don't have to disclose things on the ingredient label with, you know, color cosmetics. All color cosmetics, whether they're synthetic or mineral, have heavy metals in them. And so, you know, I thought that like Bare Minerals and some of these mineral-based cosmetics were a better choice. And when I learned that whether minerals or synthetic, they have heavy metals in them, I was like, oh, well, every time I choose to put color on my face, I'm giving myself some heavy metals. Like, don't really want to do that. So by lots of research, which I know all three of us on the line here are researchers, I came across that a fairly new company out of LA, and it's Beauty Counter. And this woman, she was a mom and she's an entrepreneur, and she looked at the problems in, you know, in what's going on in commerce and women and how we always have to sacrifice health for beauty and all this stuff, and decided to actually do something about it. So I really dug into this company. You know, as soon as she started the company, she went to the EWG and she got this woman, Mia Davis, who's awesome. I mean, if you ever look her up online, she's really smart. And she said, hey, we want to have really safe products. Now people are going to be like, well, wait a minute. You know, I've used really safe products from the health food store and they don't work. And that's what I would hear from women. I've tried natural shampoo and it does not work. You know, I'm going to go back to the stuff I get from the salon. So she knew this. And so then she went to this woman who, her name's Christy Coleman, and she's a makeup artist for celebrities. Like, this is what she does for a living. So she had the safety pillar with the EWG Mia Davis. She had the performance pillar with Christy Coleman, who was like, if these don't work in my personal business, if we can't make these perform as well as these other products, then we're not going to have them. So this company, you know, it took them 3 years to put together a lipstick, longer than that to put together a mascara. And that to me is people really with a lot of, you know, just integrity, you know, because most companies, I feel like, oh, women love mascara. Let's put one out right away because we know it'll be a big seller. And that's not what they did. So I'm not really into like representing companies necessarily, but that one was so good that I knew that that was a solid resource that I had to share with people, you know, just like other resources that I do.
Sure.
So that's no, awesome. Not my particular company, but I really I love all their stuff. I use it and I thought other people needed to know about it.
Do they make hair dyes?
They don't make hair dyes. They have a fantastic shampoo and conditioner, but hair dyes, no.
I got to give a funny little story. Yesterday, we were on our little test lab because Julie had never been on this platform before, and I was kind of walking her through it. And my wife was kind of in the other room, and Julie mentioned about the correlation between hair dyes and bladder cancer specifically, which my wife has. And it freaked me out a little bit. It was a great aha moment for me. And I'm going to do a lot more research into it. But Julie said a thing, and my wife was off the, she didn't want to get on camera, but Julie said, hey, a lot of women are embracing the white hair look and everything else. And she just went, no way, I'm not doing it. So it's like what you said, women like their makeup. And my wife is like that. She's a beautiful woman and she's just very, not vain, but just loves to look good. And to her, she doesn't want to go that white hair route. So we've got a challenge to find some hair dye that doesn't have those chemicals in it. Because what I did is I took her natural product, supposedly, a green product. And there's all kinds of chemicals in it. So we've got to do some more research, find her a hair dye that works.
Yeah, you know, look around in your area. I told you yesterday, what I did was I literally like called every organic salon in the area. And I would... some of them offered me to come in, you know, oh, come in and enjoy our services and that kind of thing. We use all organic products. And this one place will always stick out in my mind because the owner of the salon was, you know, arguing with me how clean these were. And they had asked me to come in and get, I don't know, I think they didn't dye my hair. They washed it and blow dried it and gave me like a facial or something. I left there, and I'm not that sensitive of a person as some people that I know. I left there with the worst headache just from being in that place, and I never get headaches. And I'm like, see, this is the problem, is people see this sign. It says organic and natural, and, like, it's not, you know? So we have to just be so aware always. I mean, men too, men use products, but women, sure, we use lots and lots of products. So we always have to be kind of, I don't know, over cautious with things. And in the US particularly, so there's 1400 just in beauty products, there's 1400 chemicals banned in Europe, and there's 11 of those chemicals banned in the United States.
That's
companies,
scary.
Yeah, they'll sell stuff in the same company will sell stuff in Europe that's a higher quality than they sell to us in the United States. And that's unfortunate. So that was another thing that, you know, Beauty Counter does is that's how I really got interested in them is they had an event in DC where they're literally trying to change these laws, not to make themselves a fantastic company, but to change them for everybody. You know, let's look at these laws, these lack of regulation, and let's change it for everybody. So that's what I really kind of got behind.
So what have you found out? Why do you think that is? Why are we reticent to do that, to regulate that industry?
Well, it goes back, if you guys have heard of Paracelsus, goes back to then where this old theory of science was literally the dose makes the poison. So we would look at these chemicals and figure out what high dose would poison somebody, and anything under that was okay. So as long as we used less of this, whatever substance it was. But what they found, it's called a non-monotonic dose response. What they found was on the other, so they were just looking at this end of the curve, and I have a blog post about this if you want to check it out. On the other end of the curve was people would also get this really terrible response from very low doses of chemicals. And that is because our body is very smart. So if we get a high dose of chemicals, cells will shut down certain functions, right? But if we get teeny tiny drip amounts of chemicals that are, you know, acting as hormones or whatever they are in our body, our cells receive tiny amounts of signaling to, you know, produce these hormones. So it's like they just think everything's copacetic and they keep acting accordingly until it's a problem. So low doses are actually just as much of a problem as high doses, if not more, because we're all now this, you know, we were talking about how many chemicals have been released into commerce, and we're not like this chemical soup now. We have no idea what these combinations of things are doing. And we're just starting to figure out that, you know, combinations of two chemicals that otherwise were not classified as carcinogens will act together and turn on a cancer pathway. And nobody knows, you know, but all we do know, and I'm sold on this 100%, is getting these chemicals out of our lives, because nobody can tell us if they're safe or not. You know, we're using them, but as people were getting sicker, like you guys know, the cancer rates, the rates of learning disabilities, you know, breast cancer, for example, there's only 10% of breast cancer cases are actually related to that gene problem.
Right.
And where the rest of them coming from, you know, right. It's coming from these chemicals. You can pretty much assume in our environment, we have these indicator species, you know, these fish that are literally turning into, you know, male/female fish. They'll have eggs in their testes and that kind of, so if we have these indicator species that are showing us what's happening in the animal world, and we have all these chronic diseases popping up in humans, and all these chemicals have been released into the environment, what else is it, you know?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Dr. Walsh, a question that relates to that and also to toxicology, and Kupek over here in our chat actually refers to it. The other thing that I think that we don't think about is accumulation, is that low dosages that are taken in over a period of time, in certain instances, our body doesn't regulate, it accumulates.
Right.
And the toxic response occurs once some threshold is reached, and you won't maybe see anything until that threshold is reached. You've never been exposed to any real high dosages. And yet when the threshold is reached, you might as well have just been exposed to an acute dosage all at once. We see the same sort of response. So I'm curious about your thoughts about that. And then another one, and this is gonna be a little self-serving, back to alternative health concepts and our specific focus, which is the immune system. And that is that I believe, at least, that the way we treat our bodies anymore, especially as youngsters, especially as totally infants, almost completely newborns, is to avoid having contact with anything in a natural setting, which doesn't allow our immune systems to develop at all. And then all of a sudden, exposures to much lower dosages today create problems which wouldn't have occurred back when, and you've said it several times, we let our little kids be sloppy, dirty little kids and get exposed to things so they can build up their immune system. So I'm curious about two things. One, that accumulative dosage, and second, your interest in and thoughts about immune system and how our immune systems are reacting based on lack of exposure and then massive exposure today.
Well, the first one, you know, accumulation, absolutely an issue. Again, because what are we doing? Like, we're facing more levels of these toxic chemicals than ever before. So we're encountering more during the day. And then therefore, of course, we're accumulating stuff. I mean, that's part of the problem with people that lose a lot of weight quickly. You know, we store all of these things in our fat cells, and then somebody loses weight and they release all this toxic junk into their bloodstream, and then they feel terrible. And then as far as the immune system, yes, I mean, you know, kids aren't allowed to get dirty at all anymore. You go anywhere, you know, my children will go to gymnastics or here or there or whatever, and they're all about the hand sanitizer. I mean, you know, they're spraying these kids with hand, and I'm like, no.
Toxic no soup.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and you go into a preschool or something like that, or a school, and they have to wipe everything down with Lysol. And it's just like, you know, so that it's all the chemicals, obviously, in the Lysol, but we're eliminating all of this healthy, good bacteria that we're supposed to have in around and on ourselves, you know. So I think that's it. That's a huge problem. It's like we're making our immune system a little wimpy right from the start, and then, you know, we're making it face these things that it never has to face. So yeah, I agree with both of those points.
Yep. So you also would agree with the buildup in our system of these chemicals. They keep adding, and they don't just necessarily leave our body or pass through in the way some vitamins and minerals do. But these chemicals will stay laden in our body.
Well, and then back to that bucket, you know, we talked about what's going in, but then what's coming out. So picture like a little spigot on the bottom of the bucket, and that's your organs of elimination. You know, that's your liver, that's your colon, all that kind of stuff. That's your kidneys. And what's happening with people is, you know, they're having really poor digestion for a variety of reasons, like stress, not enough good bacteria, you know, diet, you name it. But then they're, you know, the majority of the Americans that I see are terribly constipated. So that's a problem. You know, it sits in your colon longer, it reabsorbs into your bloodstream. You know, liver dysfunction is actually pretty common. Gallbladder surgery is one of the most common out there. And if you can't, you know, make and store and, you know, everything that's surrounding bile, for example, that's a big problem too. So it's a lot of things, you know. Sure. We have to reduce the amount of stuff going into the bucket. We need to make sure that everything that gets stuff out of our bucket is working well too. So
for those of you that are watching this on the replay or live, please go to our website right here under my name and sign up for our blog. So you'll get three nice blogs each week, and then you'll also get some, while you're there, you can get a free book about building your immunity, an ebook, and we'll send that right out to you. So we'd love to have you join our tribe and be part of this whole alternative health movement, which we're trying to move people into, because we do believe that healing our bodies are the pretty much the only way that we're going to get through any chronic disease. We believe that our bodies are an amazing tool designed to self-regulate, and it will help your body will heal yourself if you can, number one, rid the toxins that are going into your bucket. You can't rid all of it. You breathe, you drink, you eat, but you can get to a point where that toxic load is low, and then go into exercise, rest, sleep, and proper supplementation. We just can't get the nutrients our bodies need today through our food. We talked a little bit about that, and Wayne can go into how our soils have been depleted of the nutrients and the micronutrients that our bodies need. So it's really important to find out what level you're at, where your body is, and what supplementation you might need. We do have a product called BioPro Plus on our website, and it is a bioidentical product that is made in your body until about age 40. It's the major regulating protein that regulates your immune system. So check it out. If you get sick or if you have some chronic disease, we sure be able to help you, hopefully. Just another key to the puzzle. So first of all, I wanted to say we have a few people watching. If anybody wants to join in right now and ask a question, Dr. Walsh, please feel free to jump in. You can also ask questions on the side. Some of you have been doing that, making comments. Nin, if you want to jump in, feel free.
I have one other business-related question.
Sure.
Because I went and looked, I'd been looking at the beauty counter site, and boy, it looks professional and really awesome, and didn't even go into the detail on the products. It appears that it's a network marketing site and that people make money from both sales products as well as growing organizations. So, you know, you're in that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Just be able to promote that for yourself a little bit.
Yeah. So I'll say I am adamantly against any network marketing type opportunity. I mean, my office is a little more low key now that we're out in the country, but when I had one closer to the city, I had people coming in, you know, weekly trying to get me to sell whatever they want, you know, and it's ridiculous. And most of the MLM products out there, they're complete junk and they're selling them at an elevated price. And the whole thing is just, I'm not interested in it. Beauty Counter was different because they know that that story is best told person to person. If they had these products sitting on the shelf somewhere, they're not going to be able to explain like, hey, we do really solid heavy metal testing. We avoid pesticides. You know, we took the 1400 chemicals that were banned in Europe, the 11 that are banned in the United States, and we have a 1500 chemical never list that we'll never put in these products. So they couldn't explain that story. So they wanted people that were passionate about getting stuff out of their life, you know, to tell this story to other people. So I do use it. I mean, if people are looking for something additional to do, if there's any health practitioners or something on the website, it's a solid, smart group of people. It's not what you'd expect from an MLM. I'll just say that. And everybody that does it is the same story. It's like, I'd never do this, but like, this is so different what we're doing here.
Always
but. But that being said, they actually have retail locations too. So they sell it in J.Crew and on Goop.com, and they're going to have a little stint in Target, for example, coming up. But as far as like, you know, me and my own personal business, sure, I'd love people to go to my website and buy it from me, of course. But yeah, I have that directly through my website. And I think what I offer differently is kind of health consulting along with these products, because we know that you can change your lipstick and maybe you'll be ingesting less lead, but there might be other pieces of the puzzle that you want to kind of look at. So that's, I think, the spin that I put on it a little bit. But yeah, I see that somebody typed in my website, adoctorinthehouse.com, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And by the way, we've had several other people come in here. We're real close to wrapping up our hour. If any of you would like to grab a seat and ask Dr. Walsh some questions or have some comments, please do so. We try to be really on the hour so that we don't hold people longer, and our speakers in particular. Dr. Walsh has been awesome here today. The more you talk, the more you do sound like Robin that I was mentioning earlier, Robin O'Brien, who is passionate about allergies from a food allergy perspective. So if any of you guys want to jump in, please do so. Mike, you have any other questions for Dr. Walsh?
No, I was going to ask what, you know, we talk about toxic levels, and you're a great example. I have two grandchildren. How do you kind of mentioned it. But how do you deal with that with your kids? Because obviously we know a lot about, even from being born, whether it's cesarean or coming through the vaginal canal, there's certain bacteria that the body needs right from the very beginning of life. So what do you do with your kids? And you just encourage them to be kids and let them go play in the dirt and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kids will be kids. So I have, you know, my one son is a very dirty guy. Like, he loves to go out and chase around the chickens and, you know, roll in the mud. And then my other son is very clean. You know, he doesn't want to go outside necessarily. He's into like robotics and that kind of stuff. And they're little, you know, they choose this stuff themselves. So you can't force kids to do anything. You know, I have a couple kids with allergies. So what we do is we just try to make them eat really healthy. We expose them to a lot of things. You know, we go, my husband and I have been going on hikes for a long time. We take our kids and they complain the entire time about the hike. They don't want to do it, but we bring them anyway, you know, so that they get that like nature exposure. But, you know, I give my kids a multivitamin. I give them a shake every morning. I give them, you know, an omega-369 instead of just omega-3s, like, because we don't eat a lot of omega-6s. So that balance is important. A lot of people just push omega-3s all the time. Right. You know, I give them probiotics. My two that have food allergies, you know, we do work on like gut health and things like that with them in particular. And there's lots of supplements out there for kids now that does improve their health. But yeah, you feed them healthy, you give them a lot of experiences, and then you don't put a lot of chemicals on them. You know, I use the Beauty Counter Kids line on my kids. I'm really comfortable with that. Kids sit in bathtubs for a long period of time, you know, so they can absorb a lot of this stuff. So that's important. And I also don't bathe my kids every day. You know, this everybody has to bathe their kids at 7 o'clock every single night thing. I've never subscribed to that. And I, you know, they get dirty. I don't have dirty little kids, but you know, I'll bathe them 2 or 3 times a week. And that's it. You know, I let them kind of like just be themselves. And I think that's a healthy way to go. But you can, you know, depending on if you get a cesarean, that kind of stuff, there's infant probiotics you can give them right out of the starting gate. I think that helps out a lot. So there's ways around all that stuff.
Awesome. Listen, I really appreciate you being here. It's been a pleasure to have you, and actually an honor. Really, really appreciate your insight and what's going on out there. You know, this whole environment that we live in, we've created it, and we've got to learn how to live through it, so to speak. And I just really appreciate your insight. One of the things that we're going to be doing in the future, as I mentioned, we have one of these blabs every week, all about alternative health and things that you can do and learn about that will help your body heal itself. But one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have a little aha moment. So when we leave, I'll put together a little moment about this blab, and then it'll be on our website afterwards about what people can learn about from watching this blab to try and help people, give them a little thing so they don't have to go through an hour-long video that may not be something they were looking for. So we're gonna work on that a little bit. One of the other things that I wanted to announce that we're going to be doing here, I don't know if it'll be next week, but the week after, but depending on the subject we have, we're going to be offering a free month supply of our product, BioPro Plus. And we also have an animal line of that product. And depending again on the blab that we're doing or the live cast that we're doing, we'll be offering that. And there'll be a little contest involved. Maybe you'll required to be get on and tell us your story about what problems you might be having or something like that. So we're going to start doing that and encourage you guys to check in and go up, sign up on for our blog and get all the notifications about our blabs. I always like to end these, Julie, with the guest having the final word. So if there's anything you would like to add about alternative health, about what you do, or anything, it's yours to end.
All right. So I'll just send this message out to women that, you know, you don't have to sacrifice health for beauty anymore. You don't have to go crazy with this stuff. You can start small, you know, and little changes that you make will, you know, add up and they will make a difference in your health. So, you know, whether it makes sense for you to start big or start small, just don't stress over it. Take steps, you know, stay informed with all of this and your health will be better for it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again, Julie. Really appreciate it. Wayne, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Wow, just thank you so much, Julie. And I'll just finish by saying you've seen her website, Dr. Walsh's. Please go to it. I'm sure she's got some other info there about how you can contact her if you'd like to learn more about anything that she's talked about.
You know what? Before you go, Julie, I know I said you'd have the last word, but I want to give you a plug. You know, one of the things that I saw on your website is that ladies that want to use your services don't necessarily have to be in your town. You can do work with them right over the website. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, we do video chat, so we chat similar to how all of us are chatting here today. And it works just as well. You get to stay home and be in your PJs and see your naturopath.
Well, that's amazing, because that in itself is wonderful, because what I've heard from you, I really liked everything, and I was thinking, man, it'd be nice if she lived here in Southern California so that my wife could go over to you. So maybe she can still work with you.
Yeah.
And you could help her find some dye that works and some great makeup for her.
So, that's right. I'd love to.
Great. Again, really appreciate it. It's been an honor to have you and a pleasure. And look forward to maybe doing some work with you in the future and collaborating with you. And who knows where it'll go. Maybe at least have you on again and touch on a different subject that might be really close to you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, super. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.